Blog Talk Radio.
You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked. Bamboozled. Led astray. Run on.
Welcome to Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, your host. Thank you for being with us tonight. Speaking truth to power and ourselves. Our Common Ground. Talk that matters.
We declare our rank on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rank of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Good evening and welcome to Our Common Ground. Well, our host, Janice Graham, is on assignment. I'm Alpha, and for the next 2 hours, join me in an open discussion. This is Saturday night, open mic, where we will talk about what's important. We will speak truth to power, and we will expose what should be the obvious, but it's not. We seem to have a problem with digesting the news. We seem to have a problem with someone articulating the news in a proper form with some credibility. We seem to have nothing more than being force-fed a litany of lies, a litany of don't pay attention to reality. Just pay attention to the shiny thing, to the shiny object I'm holding in front of you. You cannot get your head around the death of the middle class, the obstruction of the middle class and the way we handle it and the way it is disseminated to us. If you cannot believe what you hear, where do you get your information from? I'll be joined tonight with co-host India Declare of the India Declare Show, Mondays through Fridays, 10 o'clock Central, right here on Blog Talk Radio. India Declare, the real, raw, right now of India Declare. I see Navazor is in the chat room. I want to shout out to Navazor. I've got a caller 111 is on the board. Caller 111.
Good evening, Alpha. It's India Declare.
India Declare. You came up 111, so I really didn't know. Welcome, India Declare, and how are you this evening?
Honored to be here. Thank you so very much to you and Janice for extending the invitation. And I'm doing well, a little stiff, but doing well. The old legs and jogging just don't mix sometimes.
You'll feel better. You'll feel better in the morning. take two rest and don't call me in the morning.
Exactly. I got you.
Well, India, Japan earthquake, okay, I understand it, I get it. We've got an explosion at a nuclear plant. I saw a piece where it says there are 9,500 people missing.
Yes.
Missing. And I don't know what
that's just from one little. That's just from one small area, according to the reports, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I can't get my head around the photos and the pictures of the tsunami. It was so unreal. I mean, it was like a black plague that was spreading. The muddy water after it had come ashore, and with his force, it turned and churned up so much dirt. It was like a black plague that had just seized the countryside. And I got to tell you, those little Japanese cars didn't stand a chance, let alone the boats that it was throwing. There was nothing that was in its way that it did not destroy. Buildings, I see the buildings seem to survive the 23-foot wave, but houses didn't have a chance. They turned instantly into boathouses, and even the roof was. I saw a house that just had barely the roof showing. So it's my understanding that this 8.9 earthquake had 7.4 aftershocks. That's a damn huge earthquake in and of itself.
It went down
to 9 and 6.4, and you got people, not only as victims of this earthquake and the tsunami, but now you have a nuclear plant that has exploded and basically destroyed the outside walls. And the only thing left between a core meltdown and another Chernobyl is the ability for, I don't know what the hell they're doing to stop that, but, that to me that turns into such a volatile situation with the with the nuclear. They said there were 1,000, the steam that was coming from it was emitting 1,000 times the radiation that's normal. So,
absolutely.
And
Alpha, it will be interesting to learn as time passes how much we are privy to in terms of information now versus what we will learn in years to come.
Well, that's the whole thing, The news in and of itself, we are fed news as on a need-to-know basis, and they consider the public last that needs to know. And that seems to be what our problem is in our politics and whatever cataclysmic events that occur, throughout the world, around the world, we seem to be on a need-to-know basis and the last-to-know basis.
And that's the most tragic of all, even though maybe, just maybe, there is a wave of awakening taking place, and that sleeping giant, the masses of average Americans, may just possibly begin to demand more information, maybe.
Well, I found it to be just unacceptable, unbelievable that you have, Japan and the earthquake and the tsunami, there are stories. But I have to tell you, I did my show earlier this afternoon, and 2.5 hours after I got into the house, I had still not seen not one image of the Wisconsin protest. And the farmers were supposed to be there with tractors. I don't know where we're headed. All I know is that this awakening of the middle class must demand that there be a better accountability, must demand that rather than balance everyone's budget on the backs of the poor, the needy, women, children, teachers, education, how in the hell does that go on without raising taxes on the millionaires who have benefited from this shift of wealth, or continuing to give $46 billion a year in oil subsidies and not going after the budget for the military-industrial complex? How is it that we seem to be tone deaf to what the American people want? And as I bought and paid for political prostitutes only serve their pimps, their corporate pimps.
Absolutely.
As we see what's happening. Is everybody blind? Where are the teabaggers?
And cheap prostitutes at that. I mean, they're not even the so-called sophisticated ones. But referencing the blindness, I don't know. I'm so hopeful. I am so hopeful, Alpha, that we are witnessing just the beginning of the great American worker awakening, as I pinned it in my blog today. There were, even though so-called mainstream media showed snippets, if anything at all, about it, but there were 85,000 people at the Wisconsin Capitol today. To me, that's news. That's a big story, with all due respect to the absolute horrific events taking place across the world in Japan. What we have here, this movement of pushback from the average American worker, is news as well. And I would think that anyone that would call themselves a news outlet would in fact dedicate percentages of programming to what is going on domestically as well. We are all concerned about what is happening in Japan and other parts of the world. However, that does not diminish in any way what is also happening stateside domestically with average Americans, especially when we had so much coverage of Tea Party events, just a deluge of – you couldn't get away from the Tea Party and their events. And yet here we have, in my opinion, the beginning – the hopeful beginning of what is a true movement, an awakening of the great American worker. And 85,000 people showing up, 85,000 people showing up anywhere, to me, is an event, and especially in regards to the labor movement in this country. And so I am disappointed at our news agencies, MSNBC, CNN, all of them. Where were they? Because this was a huge day in Wisconsin today. Huge.
Well, as far as truth in reporting, let's be honest. MSNBC was playing, they weren't even playing prison outtakes. They were playing murder mysteries. And did I see a few predator child molester situations? You know...
Part-time? I mean, you know, I've been wondering about that for some time. The entire bringing the camera in the prison programming, I don't know. I turned the channel, but it's not entertaining. It's not informing. Other than desensitizing people to the prison experience, I don't get it. And especially when you have worldwide events such as what has taken place in Japan and beyond, as well as historic domestic events such as what is taking place in Wisconsin today, get some cameras and some reporters and microphones to these historic events. And so I don't get it. Part-time news organization, is that Monday through Friday? I mean, the news goes on beyond Friday. what? I just don't understand it. Next, you know, we'll be seeing cartoons, I suppose.
Well, I'm not against cartoons now, especially the old ones.
Well, you know, there was a if you were able to watch Free Speech TV, freespeechtv.org carried the protest there in Wisconsin live, and there was a history teacher, bless her heart, I will never forget her, and she said, today we're not teaching, I'm paraphrasing, she said, today we're not teaching history, we're making history. And I thought, you know what, you go, girl, this, thank you, this is history. And yet no coverage, none. That's tragic.
Well, I think we're going to see we're going to see more of that. And not only are we going to see more of that, but I think it's going to be imperative for the liberal progressive voices to call out CNN. See, you know, I don't watch Fox News, and frankly, I don't care what Fox News puts out because...
They've been irrelevant. Yeah. No, I can't deal with them.
How many crop videos have they been caught adjusting? How many videos have they been caught tampering with? And how many people do they bring? They have a crew of nothing but liars. What's his name? Ed Schultz. Ed Schultz is all over this Tucker Carlson, silver spoon in his mouth, bow tie wearing, soft shoe, sugar filled, you know, come on. And he's and Ed Schultz, I guess he really pissed Ed Schultz off because in his radio address on Ed Schultz flat out called him a punk. He so berated and belittled him because he lied four times in a span of 17 seconds. And he challenged Tucker Carlson. Come on the Ed Show, and we'll talk about these 17 seconds because that's just like the new ad the Republicans put out. You know, people said Barack Obama shouldn't go there because then they're going to make it about him. What did the ad show? It showed unions. And it showed the voice of Barack Obama, and that was it. They will make it about him regardless. And that's what people don't understand. And people there are certain folks who want to speak about, Ed shouldn't be so hard on Obama. He's not hard on him. He's one of Obama's biggest supporters. But he simply wants him to stand up to these people. And I had a guy on my show earlier, his name is Tony, and I believe it's Tony from Ohio. And he's a conservative. He's a conservative, and he's at his wit's end. He's not a moderate conservative, he's a thinking conservative.
Right.
And he understands that we have commonality when it comes to middle class. When it comes to who's eating our lunch, we have commonality with the same things that, you know, Americans want.
Absolutely. The repubs are pools for a real tight and elite club. Most Americans are not in that club. I believe Mr. Michael Moore referenced about 400 cats are in the club. Well, that excludes a lot of other people. So, to me, I hope that there are more Tonys who advocate whatever they want to advocate, but do not diminish or dilute the commonalities and common threads, which are common sense with the average American. The average American should be arm in arm in a lockstep. In terms of calling out who the political poodles are and exactly who they work for. If one doesn't see that, just as when you open your show, this is obvious. I mean, if one doesn't see this, then one is not wanting to see this, but I'm just truly hoping that there is an average American worker awakening taking place. I believe there is, and that 85,000 people there in Wisconsin that no news outlet covered today is an indication of that.
Well, I've shut off my emails, and I can't imagine what Sunday's programs will look like because it'll just be all Republicans talking about Japan and the Republicans' point of view.
Well, that's about it. But as I say on my show all the time, I believe that is where the Alpho show comes in. That's where Janice's programming comes in. That's where Navazor, and that's where, you know, that makes our role that much more significant, and the actual truth coming through the progressive pipeline becomes much more valuable and much more significant and much more necessary. You know, we have the dilution, the whitewash, the ignoring taking place in various mainstream vessels. Well, then that kicks the ball of responsibility over to those who are willing to step up and speak the average American truth. We certainly can't expect the Club of 400 and the political poodles to advocate on our behalf. I think finally people are beginning to wake up and realize that hunting for the birth certificate and chanting he's a racist, he's a Nazi, he's a Marxist, he's a socialist was a smokescreen, and they got took, and now people are beginning to wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, I might have voted Republican, but I didn't vote for this. And so people are hopefully beginning to wake up and see that these people aren't working on your behalf. You have to work on your behalf and call them out and get them out. And I think that's where people were today with the 85,000, very boldly pushing for signatures and political engagement, referencing the recall. And people are they have signs in one hand and clipboard in the other, and that's what it's going to take: active sweat and active engagement to get this right. Because in terms of somebody taking their country back, that phrase is such a joke to a point where hopefully people are waking up and. To the real world right now. See, we have lost our government. We've lost complete control of it. It's been bought. And looks like they, it doesn't look like they've even had to buy it at a high price, some of these cats. So corporate America has bought it. Looks like every level of government has been tagged, a red tag sale. So, here we sit. So now we're having to take our government back.
Well, I look at
they're supposed to work for us, you know.
Well,
that's how it's supposed to be. but apparently, and the fake phone calls showed it. Many don't.
Well, these governors that have risen to power throughout the northern, above the Mason-Dixon line. And that's what's so disturbing, that there were so many people above the Mason-Dixon line in blue states, in a blue state like Wisconsin, in a blue state mm-hmm. like Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. They had this attack, this progressive state, blue state attack. And they were very successful in it because not only, I can't say everyone was asleep, but I can say the progressive base was fractured and disappointed because we didn't get everything that we thought we should get. And that, you know, there's a lesson to be learned there because it's progress is slow. And now I don't know how much of a setback this will be because these governors and their policies and their control of their state legislators have such draconian laws that they're proposing. The one in Michigan disturbs me a great deal about you create the crisis. And you simply create, like they did in Wisconsin. Scott Walker created a crisis by giving $147 million tax cut and shifting money to pay for it. And then he declared a budget crisis. And the number that they throw out is the 3 point something billion in a shortfall. Well, that 3 point something billion is nothing more than a smokescreen. That's nothing more than a smokescreen, because that 3 point something billion can be cleared up in a 6 month span. The losing candidate for governor, Virge Bonero, he's the mayor.
Yes.
I think it's Madison, Wisconsin, he's the mayor of. Virge Bonero was one of these critical thinking governors, who was about, had he won, he would have introduced the state bank. Now, Ellen Brown of Truth Out, she has these articles. She's had, now this is the second time, this is the second article she's had, and this one goes directly to Wisconsin. It's all about Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And she lays it out. She flat out lays it out as to what the hell needs to happen in Wisconsin. There's no crisis. There's no budget shortfall. All they have to do is, you know, come to grips with the state bank. And, you know, I have to say this because it's so maddening, it's so sickening to a point where it's so obvious, but even progressives, even people like, and see, Ed Schultz and folks and a Rachel Maddow, you don't hear them talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to come to ask a question. Where is the downside of a state bank? What is the downside of having a state bank? Because there has to be a downside, because it's kept so hush-hush and under wraps. And from everything that I've read about it, it is the quintessential move. It is the, you know, it's how you do it.
Correct. Well, North Dakota is most certainly a vivid and muscular example of the positives of state banking. And so I believe your question is a powerful and legitimate one, and I too would like to see programming dedicated to this issue. It's not like we don't have an example and a model of state banking, and so why is that model just ignored?
I got to tell you, I have a problem. I have a serious problem with, you know, how this works out. You know, in this article, and this is the second, like I said, this is the second article, she lays it out just as she did in the
mm-hmm.
first article. And the only
mm-hmm.
difference is she substitutes the word California for Wisconsin. And,
mm-hmm.
California has a $26 billion budget shortfall.
Yeah.
$26 billion. And this idea of a state bank allows the bank to borrow against its own revenue. Instead of sending the revenues that you collect in your state to the big bank, open your own state bank.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've opened up the state bank, then you can fractional borrow against that money. And I think the funds are called, I've got the article pulled up here, and I'm trying to find out what they are actually called, because this is not something here it is. This is not something that we've heard or something that, this is fact. This is filed. It's called CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, PDF. The state has $67 billion in pensions and other employee benefit trust funds invested mainly in stocks and debit securities, drawing a modest return. A recent study by the Pew Center for State shows that the Wisconsin pension fund is almost fully funded, meaning it meet the commitments for years to come without drawing on outside sources. So, it requires a contribution of only $645 million annually to meet pension payouts. Zach Carter, writing in the Huffington Post, notes that the pension program could save another $195 million annually by cutting out Wall Street investment managers and managing funds in the state bank. How much is the shortfall that they said for this year? A hundred and something million.
Mm-hmm.
The same amount that he gave tax cuts to the corporations.
Correct.
This is why it's not a crisis. $195 million annually just by cutting out the Wall Street investment managers. That's the problem. The Wall Street managers, hedge fund managers are being protected.
Exactly. This is just a shifting of resources from one place to the other and then selling it to us that there's this huge mammoth crisis when we have a shifting of resources towards tax cuts and payoffs to millionaires and billionaires.
Well, India, 347-838-9852. We have a caller. Caller 615. Thank you for calling Our Common Ground.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. This is Greg Parker. you guys were talking about Wisconsin, which is a real important issue that's going on right now, too. I mean, they're kind of covering it all up with all the other news garbage that's happening, too. But I just kind of like to share my take on what's happening in Wisconsin, if you don't mind.
Right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I guess you can call me conservative, you can call me Democrat, it depends. I'm a truck driver, so I call talk show all the time. You know, I'll call, if I call a conservative show, then they'll accuse me of being some left-wing wacko, and if I call a liberal show, they'll accuse me of being some right-wing wacko. So my view of the whole thing is what these media personalities don't want their specific group of listeners to understand. Okay. With that in mind, I'd just like to say that if you were to ask the average person down the street their view of something or their opinion of something, their answer is basically based on what they've heard from their favorite talk show host. So if a person is to listen to just one like conservative radio all the time, then they will always have the conservative view of something. They'll never look at both sides of an issue. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with Wisconsin and what's going on there, this is the destruction of another class of people as far as their salary and their benefits and their pay. We're not far away from what's going like Egypt and Saudi Arabia in the Middle East. People are living on $2 a day. The goal of this administration and the previous administration and the administration before that and before that and before that and before that is to destroy our way of life and how we get along, because, you know, like every time you move up in a job, you get to that higher tax bracket to where you're never going to get ahead. And what they're doing now, I feel, is that they're systematically destroying high-paid salary people. They've destroyed a lot of the business already in this country, and we've got the school teachers are fighting for their benefits. They're fighting for their families, their salaries, everything. You know, they're just like everybody else. And what's happening is that the media is doing exactly what it was designed to do. They're designed to divide the public. Okay, so when you listen to conservative radio, like I said, I listen to both things. I listen to conservative radio, and they have done everything they could to stir up the Tea Party, to stir everything up about to be against the Wisconsin school teachers. okay? They're using the envy game. You know, oh, well, how come they make almost money? How come they get all this benefits? How come all this? And it's all because, and the reason why Wisconsin's in debt is because of these darn little unions and these mean school teachers. And it is amazing how the American people are just led around like little sheep by these talk show people. I want to fast forward just a little bit, okay? If they succeed in breaking up this union, then there's a whole class of school teachers that are either going to be, when they retire, they're not going to be able to find a better paying job, or if they quit, they're not going to be able to find anything better paying. I think teachers are going to quit. Some of them are going to say, "Well, to hell with this!
Right.
I'll just retire right now."
Exactly.
And then we're going to end up, and then we're going to end up having a whole bunch of people that were flipping burgers at McDonald's go apply for teacher jobs, which is more pay than Burger King. But then you're not going to get any quality teaching. You know, so there's some more that fits in with the government's dumbing downing of Americans and dummy downing of the public, because the more misinformed Americans are, the easier they are to manipulate. And they've done a darn good job of that, the way people people are actually waking up to it. But if you have that in mind of how they're putting the Tea Party people against the union people, what's going to happen when they go after, say they start when they start shipping stuff directly into the ports of Mexico and bypassing the longshoremen? Those are all high-paying jobs. You know, those people are going to be protesting like crazy. Now, the media is going to probably play the same thing. Whether, I don't know if it's going to be the liberal aspect of talk radio is going to get that group of people riled against the longshoremen, or the conservative is. It seems like the conservative groups and talk people are always against the unions, no matter what. You know, with their listeners, they lead their listeners in that direction. But this is just signs of how, you know what I'm going with this. I mean,
absolutely. Because you know what, Greg, I could not agree with you more. What we are witnessing and being led to believe, hopefully people are awakening to this as we speak here, an absolute undeniable dilution of the American labor pool. And if people think that they're going to stop with the public unions, think again. This is an absolute dilution of the American labor pool. Meanwhile, though, we know that other parts of the world are out innovating us. What did the president say? We need to out innovate, out educate, out build. We've got a lot of catching up to do. And as you just brilliantly articulated, if the Republican agenda is allowed to be implemented as is, you will have massive amounts of highly skilled, qualified teachers literally saying, come on, as if they're not making enough money already to dilute their wages, take away their rights to collectively bargain. So we will see great resources of teachers leave the profession. Who knows who will fill that vacuum? And I'm not saying, obviously, we have some problem teachers. You know, we've had fabulous documentaries about that. We've got some issues with some weak teachers. But to gut the entire system of education, when you pull out $900 million out of Wisconsin's system of education, you gut the system of education. I mean, you just... you kill it, it's gone.
Exactly.
The way to kill anything is to take the money from it. The money is the oxygen. If it's not oxygenated with resources, it's dead. And that's what we're witnessing, not just in Wisconsin, but in other states as well. And there's got to be average American pushback on this, or we literally will witness the obliteration of this country.
Yeah, and you know what? People look at everything ass backwards. They should be mad as hell that, yes, the teachers are making, the, you know, the teachers, these people are mad as heck about the teachers making all this money and have better benefits. Well, we the people should demand that we have the exact same benefits that they have, not that they lose their opportunity and their benefits that they bargained for. See, that's what I mean. The American the American people, I get upset. I'll back come down here. The American people are so backwards thinking. It's unreal. It's when you don't have a society with religion backing it. This is exactly what we have. You know, about being selfish. That's exactly what everyone do. They're all being selfish that these teachers are making more money than they are, that they have better benefits, and they've been convinced into thinking that the whole reason why Wisconsin is in debt is because of the unions. Give me a break. The country's in debt because of the last series of 20 presidents or whatever it's been that's done nothing but destroy this economy and shipped all our jobs overseas. That's why we're in the
mess. Absolutely. Absolutely. The outsourcing... the outsourcing and offshoring is problem one. The varying trade agreements that both parties rallied behind and sold and told were such great things now don't look so great. And you're right. As painful as this is, I believe what Greg is saying has tremendous legitimacy. The American people have been... what's the word? Politically naive, and just you know, wanting to like someone or you know, as you said earlier in the call, you listen to a particular personality on the radio, one of the AM right wing cheerleaders, and you somehow in your mind think that you identify with, you know, with that person and tend to vote the way that person. So smoothly suggest that you vote. Political naivete, in my opinion, is how we got here, and not being willing to push back and scrub down who the hell we're voting for. You know, how many times did we hear, Greg, during one of the former presidential elections, well, he's the kind of guy I want to go and have a beer with. What the hell does that have to do with starting a war, the lying about weapons of mass destruction? I mean, you know, we buy into the cheesiest crap. Somebody was saying, well, by gosh, he hasn't been to the Boy Scouts. He hasn't been to the Boy Scouts. We've mm-hmm. been to the Boy Scouts. You got to vote for me because I went to the Boy Scouts. What the? Look, you know what? I'm trying to be cool. Hold on. This is Janice's show. But, you know, we buy the cheesiest crap, and we roll with it. But I guess, you know what, it's in all the programming. It's in all the it's why some of these shows are the number one shows, you know, where the kid sings and, you know, and they make $1 million or they go on tour or, you know, or some fat ass dances and, you know, put some sequins on and everybody – claps by clapping seals, you know. I mean, the American public is just so damn idiotic. In a way, I guess we deserve what we get.
Yeah, and you know what it is? Can I say one more thing?
Go ahead.
I've been driving trucks for 25 years, so I've listened to Limbaugh, Hannity, all that stuff. I just listened to all of it.
And thank you for that service, by the way. Thank you for that service. When we go to pick up something on the shelves or fill in the blank, it's you guys who get it there, and by God, we love you and thank you so much for what you do, and you guys should be paid a hell of a lot more, too.
Thanks.
I just had to get that in.
Yeah, they're doing everything they can to destroy the trucking industry here because the whole goal is to have things shipped straight through Mexico right into the United States, and the United States truck driver is basically a middleman that's going to be in the way. You know, if companies and big corporations here could get it cheaper through Mexico with Mexican drivers, they're going to just bypass us altogether. And our government's doing everything they can to make that happen. But back to the media, like you were saying, you know, if people have become repeaters, they haven't become thinkers. So with that in mind, what I mean by that is that everyone that listens, let's just pick on conservative radio. This also applies to liberal radio, too, but let's pick on conservative. People that turn around first thing in the morning, they have, say, Limbaugh on, and then after that it's Glenn Beck, and then after that it's Hannity, and after that so-and-so. Well, those people, their answer to the question is based on what they've heard from that group of talk show people. So they're actually repeating what these people are telling them. They're not thinking about what these people are telling them. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Greg, and from what I'm hearing from you, I vision you as an independent. And when I say an independent, I say an independent because you don't want to lean too much to the left. You don't want to lean too much to the right. But having said that, let me ask you this. The fact that there are 450 conservative, right-leaning talk shows to 95 progressive, liberal talk shows, does that cause you concern when you hear just the vapid, obtuse ignorance coming from the right and the petty? And as an independent, how is it that you can see what is happening in this country and how they are for the corporate agenda, along with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, as they shift the jobs offshore, the jobs? How is it that there are independents who can come down on the side of Republicans and actually vote for them when they are actually voting against their best interest, their own interest they're voting against? And that brings me full circle around to the question of, is it just not your ideology on politics? Is it something else? Does it really have something to do with who's in the White House? Does it really have something to do with criticizing socialism when we don't live in a capitalistic free market? Because if we did, we wouldn't be giving subsidies to big agriculture, to big oil. We wouldn't be giving subsidies to the military-industrial complex that privatizes and, you know, is so fraud, you know, full of fraud.
Mm-hmm.
But then we can turn around and we can vilify teachers, firemen, policemen, librarians, healthcare providers. And why wouldn't that be so outrageous to a point where people must be made to pay for their failure? This takeover and destruction of the unions in Wisconsin should have opened every independent's eyes that they've been hoodwinked, they've been bamboozled, led astray, run amok. But how is it that you still have, and I've seen interviews with people who are affected by this draconian legislation coming in, and yet they come to a camera and can admit that they voted Republican. They fell for the lie, because I'm sure Scott Walker didn't campaign on $900 million cuts to education, killing Head Start. He didn't campaign on destroying women's health and health care for so many people. He didn't campaign on any of that. And there should be such an outcry from independents alone. And I just head around that.
You know what I think, too, is that you know, when these state governments, the federal government, whatever, when they say they're cutting, listeners are thinking in their minds that they're cutting government. But in reality, they're cutting United States citizens' salaries and ways of life. You know, we pay into Social Security, we pay into all this stuff. What's the only way the American people actually get any of that money back? Back through Social Security or whichever. So what's the first thing our government cuts? The amount of money that goes back into that you get back into Social Security by raising the retirement age. I mean, I don't know. I guess the reason why I see through this stuff is because we're all created equal. We're all created equal, and we all have our faults, and we all have our good things about us, and there's all bad things about people. And I can't sit there and listen to conservative radio and just think that every single thing they point out is always negative against liberals. You can't tell me every liberal person is a negative person. You can't tell me every conservative person is a conservative person, no matter which way you listen to it or which end of the fence you're on. I think that the only true leaders this country has ever had was JFK, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, John Lennon. Those were all true leaders of freedom. Could you imagine another Martin Luther King? They would not be able to make it past the media blitz. Any person that would get some kind of movement going like Mr. King had, I don't think he'd be able to make it past the media blitz, because the media has their listeners so wrapped up into nothingness and so wrapped up and so lost and led around from one news outlet to another, that it would be real hard for a true leader to actually emerge from this mess. I don't know. The American people have to unite. The reason why
we have
these things
to.
Are happening.
We have to. I just hope that people within the realm of your voice and that people across this country are really awakening to the fact that our back is up against the wall. If we don't stand and push back now, it seems like it's over, if it's not already too late.
And what is our future? I'll tell you exactly what our future is. I'm sure you know this too. Our future is the same thing as the Middle East. $2 a day living under dictatorship. And that's what's
Thank
going
you.
On.
Apparently, that's what they want. You know, we've heard the Republicans say, hey, you know, look, we're into the creation of jobs, Well, show us what that is, first off, and what is the pay of those jobs that they are so interested in creating? A $2 an hour job is not beneficial to you and to me. That's not what we're used to, but that might be where they're going. And it just looks like a complete dilution of the American labor pool. Just as Cowman52 called in on my show and said it, I will never forget it. Greg, he said, this is Cowman52, he said, India, in order to have a new world order, you've got to first destroy the current one.
Exactly. That's exactly
what I said. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here, I'm going to share my thoughts with you guys just on this whole thing with the Middle East and stuff. It's kind of off topic, but this is how I look at the Middle East. I look at the Middle East as America's future, okay? What's happening in the Middle East is this, okay? We've got Egypt. The people of Egypt have been living on $2 a day. They've had enough. They've all united. The thing that united the people of the Middle East and Egypt is the Muslim faith. It's their faith is what's carrying them through this battle. If they don't care about Democrats, liberals, that doesn't matter. They're doing this. They know that their back is against the wall and that they've got to fight or they're going to die. And what is happening is, this is my opinion, what is happening is that those people out there in Libya right now, no one has arms, they don't have guns, they have no way to defend themselves, and they're being massacred and slaughtered, right? Now, our government, with this stupid war, is doing what in Afghanistan and the Middle East? They are disarming all of those people in that region so that they cannot defend themselves from another dictatorship coming in there and taking over. And it's all under the disguise of terrorists and terrorism. And the American people are just they're so brain dead, it's unreal. And our government is there disarming the citizens and the people of Pakistan and Afghanistan. That's what they're doing, because if they really were afraid of our security and our safety, our borders would be shut down, but they're not. Our government is taking our money, our tax dollars, money, our sweat and blood, and using that money to prop up these dictators. The people of the Middle East don't hate Americans. They hate the government of America for putting them in the position that they're in, because they're using our money to keep these dictators in power. Now, there are big groups of people that do hate Americans because they don't understand. They think it's the American people that are behind it and that sort of thing. But I would say, you know, overall, that is what's happening in the Middle East. And if the people of Libya, to me, when I watch all this happen, how it all pans out, what's telling me is that the people of Libya are succeeding in truly being free, then our government is going to start doing sanctions. You know, that guy's been, he's been in power for 30 years. How come we didn't think of doing any kind of sanctions with him before when he was in power? Now that he's losing power, we're going to start sanctioning the government of Libya? No, that's going to affect the people of Libya. It's not going to affect the government. You see where I'm going. You see how I'm just so much out of the box, meaning, you know, the television box, all this hype and all this crap that the media has just spewed on the American people. I don't believe any of anything that comes out of the television or the media now. I can't believe any of it, other than tomorrow's going to be Sunday and we're going to move our clocks up an hour tonight. That's it.
I think a lot of people would probably agree with you that the media is losing credibility in many regards, and we're all kind of awakening to a brutal and chilled reality here, that many of the institutions that people have possibly depended on in the past are simply not worthy of the amount of respect that they have been given. And I do think a lot of people are beginning to see and to say, you know what, these sources are not credible, and they're seeking out the internet, and they're doing their own research, and they're having to gather their own data and information and inform themselves, because they no longer rely on what we know as mainstream media vessels. I think that's happening a lot.
India, when we start talking about, you know, look at what our media has been turned into. You have a mm-hmm. huge organization run by Rupert Murdoch, Roger Ailes, and they have, their hand has been exposed. They defended themselves, and down in Florida, in a case back in 2003, 2004, I think it was, and their defense was they had no responsibility to tell the truth. They tried to get into Canada. Canada said no to Rupert Murdoch and the Sun group that was trying to get in there, and they were trying to get into Canada to do the same thing, corrupt the credibility of media. The credibility of media has been corrupted here in the United States. Free speech, yes. You can have free speech, but I'd be damned if you should have the ability to come before the American people on public airways and lie and spin. We all have an interpretation of what the truth is or what the facts are. And you can, and that's fine. That's fair game. But when you have been caught time and time again, purposely misleading the American public and telling lies, you know, there has to be a line drawn.
Right.
If media has lost its credibility, and our media has lost their credibility, I don't care if it's embedded reporters with soldiers. I don't care if it's a reporter talking to a general and getting it straight, and then having that reporter and his article attacked. Just like the former Bush press secretary who came, what was it, Scott McClellan, who came out with a, you know, his book, and he exposed the Bush administration. Did you understand and notice that they pushed back, and they pushed back with so many surrogates until it overwhelms the factual issue? Nobody said he was lying. They just all, there was just 12, 15, 20 people coming out and seizing all of the microphones available to to the listening and the viewing audience to say that that's not our Scotty, that's not the Scotty we know, and that's how they attack, that's how they put, they swift boat you in a matter of 1 or 2 days. And that's what they do.
I'd like to expand on that as far as the media goes. We had, it's called the Communications Act of 1934, and that was when no corporations or businesses could own any more than 40 forms of media. And if you owned a local television station, say in Texas or in Dallas, you couldn't own a local radio station in Dallas. You had to be 40 different, you know, I don't know how many miles away from each other, but you could only own 40 forms of media. And also back then, they had the Fairness Doctrine. And the Fairness Doctrine was designed to make it fair for candidates, for you or me or any Joe Blow to get on there and have a fair shot at being at running for any office they wanted to run for. And what happened was is that when Räikkönen was in office, not him personally, but one of his, whoever was assigned to the communications department, whatever it is, I don't know the technical term, he destroyed a lot of the Fairness Doctrine. And then when Clinton got into office, that's when it fell apart, because he signed into law the Telecommunications Act of 1996. And that's where it opened the door wide open. For now we have General Electric, we have Time Warner, we have Disney, we have Viacom, Clear Channel, and what is CBS News Corp, are six corporations that primarily own 99% of everything you hear and see on the television and the radio. So there is no freedom of the press, because these people all have that boss to answer to. If it's General Electric, they own NBC, CBS, ABC, whatever, and Time Warner. Each one owns their big affiliates. And we're all living, you know, the American people are living under the illusion of free press and freedom of speech. With you look at that, and you can see how they've gotten so big to where General Electric, as far as the business goes, they're never going to go under, because they're fitting the role of the government. I call them the fourth branch of government. The media is the fourth branch of government in this country. They spin things.
I agree with that.
They change things. Anytime the American people start to get united, like the in Wisconsin there with the school teachers, and this is spreading all over the United States, well, guess what? They're using their fourth branch of government and taking the conservative part of it and attacking the thing, because we have to keep that division in the public, in the country.
And the best way to attack it is to not air it. And that actually takes me back to my original point, is that where is the cover? We had 85,000 people in Madison, Wisconsin at the Capitol today. That should be a huge news story in conjunction with the global horrific natural event of the earthquake and the tsunami, with all due respect to that story and that event and the horror of it. We have an ongoing movement of the American worker, and for that not to have had a significant percentage of coverage today indicates to me that what Greg is saying is correct.
Well, absolutely. What Greg is saying is correct, but even more so, I don't look at this as, you know, the evisceration of creditable media. Reagan began to, you know, Roger Ailes was an aide to Ronald Reagan before he went, you know, into the news network. Now, in news networking, he went from the conservative aide to a conservative. And remember how Ronald Reagan attacked Social Security when it first came out?
Mm-hmm.
And look at where we are. He decried and fear-mongered and told you that the Chicken Little, the sky was falling. As sure as I'm talking to you, socialism will take over the United States. And he said that so far back that how could people of any sane reasoning call themselves Republicans or conservatives when you have been lied to, lied about, and lied on? And at some point in time, you have to open your eyes to see who's lying to you. who has corrupted, who has incorporated how the news is disseminated? Republicans. It's all about control. It's all about, this is the same thing that a Joseph Goebbels and a Bill Waring, the propagators of Nazi propaganda. They took over the media, so now they control the message. That's why Democrats can't get their message out, is because they are fighting an uphill battle. And I've always contended one thing. You can't get your message out because you don't try hard enough. I think that rather than there be the news outlets that you get your messages out on, simply call a press conference. And if they show up, they show up. And if they don't, they don't. But once you get in front of that camera, you must say something that is out of the norm. And when you not just, and you can't, let me put it like this. It's one thing if I'm saying something and I'm speculating. It's another thing if I have the truth and the facts on my side and I'm calling you out, just like CNN should be called out for not covering, be it Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, the whole nine yards, and what these these newly elected governors north of the Mason-Dixon line, they've taken over, and they are about to take over this nation. And we sit here and act as though political correctness should be up and civility should be the number one priority. I say to hell with civility. I criticize Republicans because they are guilty. I criticize, you know, they talk about, you know, what's the first thing they push back on? There you go blaming Bush again. Bush did it. Hitler did it. Charles Manson did it. And that's what people don't want to hear. People that shy and fall back into a defensive mode when they talk about, there you go, you can't continue to blame everything. Ronald Reagan blamed Jimmy Carter. They all blame Jimmy Carter. To this day, they talk about how bad of a president Jimmy Carter was.
Do.
Oh, he's another Jimmy Carter. He's another Jimmy Carter. Don't blame Bush. Don't blame Bush. Don't blame Reagan. Don't, you know, they have created more debt in this nation than any other presidents. Reagan, Papa Bush, W. Bush have created more debt in this nation than Clinton, Carter combined. And now they talk about Barack Obama. Oh, look at the spending. It only became a matter of spending when a Democrat got in office. And if you don't know who Grover Norquist is, you better Google him. It's called Starve the Beast.
Uh-huh.
Google Grover Norquist, and it'll lay it out there for you. And that's what you see. That's why spending is such a big issue now. Who spent more than W. Bush? Who spent more than his father? Who spent more than Ronald Reagan? So if you can't deal with facts, then you'll never get past.
I kind of like to add to that too, is that you know, through all those presidents and all the spending and craziness that's been going on, I believe this goal of destroying our way of life, Americans' way of life, and our economy has been going on for 30 years, or if not more. And what I've looked at is that, you know, we have gold, and it's hitting new highs, and gold is going up in value because it can't be duplicated. And as long as you can't duplicate something, then you're always going to have it go up in value based on the demand. Well,
correct.
Tie that together with our U.S. dollar. Our U.S. dollar is a fiat currency. It could be printed up. The Federal Reserve prints it like it's nothing. And what happening is the governments, the administrations, like say 30 years back, as far years back as you want to go, they have systematically, they know that the more money that they spend and blow, that justifies them printing more money. the more money they print, it brings the value of our dollars down to where, you know, back in the mid-60s, we could buy a Chevelle, 68 Chevelle, for $2,500, $2,800.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but what happened to that? You know,
exactly.
It's because the governments keep, these administrations keep spending and throwing hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars away to justify printing more money. As they print more money, that devalues our dollar, which brings the American people down, 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 farther down. Harder to live, harder to survive, harder to buy food, harder to buy milk, harder to afford a car, more expensive for – you see the pattern. So I think that every one of these administrations, whether you know, if the media is going after Obama or going after Clinton or whoever, or I mean Bush or whoever, they're pointing out the money that they're throwing away, that they're wasting on this and wasting on that. And these politicians, I think they're just laughing. They all sit there with their fancy cigars, and these elitist people, they sit there saying, you know, hey, it's my turn with the checkbook. I could spend as much money as I want because our goal is to destroy the livelihoods of America, Americans, so we could all be living like they do in the Middle East. And that's you know, this is just my opinion. This is kind of what I see happening with all this out of control spending, whether it was Bush or Obama. Is the end result is that the value of our currency is going down along with our livelihoods. That's kind of what's going on.
Well, and maybe, just maybe, what you are speaking to is the great equalizer that will once again, as I believe, have the average American, regardless of culture, religion, regardless of whatever differences one wants to pit one against each other, I believe what you have just spoken to should be the main catalyst to galvanize average Americans to be arm in arm in regards to changing what we know is the problem. We have been politically naive. We have bought into the various ad campaigns and 3- and 4-word slogans, and now we have been duped. And like I say on my show all the time, Wall Street didn't just get Republicans and didn't just dupe, Democrats. I think we're all swirled in the jacking. Millions of Americans have lost their homes. And lost their livelihoods, and millions more are anticipated to lose their homes and livelihoods. And that's not any one of anyone. That's all of us. And those are commonalities and common threads that should be common sense to galvanize us to stand in unity and put all this BS aside and deal in the real world right now and demand that we be respected. If we bend over, if we get rolled over this time, we can see that they are full throttle, very well organized, and obviously have the money behind them. And our country will forever be very different, very different. And I don't know if Americans are ready to make that adjustment. So if, whether we want to or not, whether we know it or not, whether we think we can handle it or not, whether we feel we're strong enough or not, the time is now. We're in a war. Got to take the stilettos off, put the boots on, and get busy. And where else can we go?
Yeah, and you know, I do everything I can. Like I said, when I'm driving and stuff, I call talk radio all the time. And I'm always the caller, because you know where I'm my mind's at. I'm always the caller that the talk show host will shut me off and cut me off and do everything he can to discredit me. I was on Glenn Beck's show a few weeks back, and we had a snow day, so I was off work, and I was just sitting by the computer, and I was on the line, and I really ticked him off, and I know I got through I got to a lot of his listeners, but I was on hold for 2.5 hours, and when I got on there, I got on there and I nailed them. I got on there and I said, "Oh, Glenn, thanks for taking my phone call. I don't know how much more of this rhetoric I could stand listening to. I don't know who's worse, you or Randy Rhodes." So I compared the one extreme left to the one extreme right to put me right dab in the middle to where he could not accuse me of being a left-wing wacko or anything like that. And it made, I know a lot of his listeners woke up when I said that because it took all of his power and his control away. And then the three of them all attacked me, and I said, "Listen, don't try to change the subject. I've been on hold for an hour and a half or 2.5 hours, and I'm going to make my statement." You know, and then he finally hung up on me, and then he had one of his buddies there in the office call up and try to make a joke out of it, saying, "Oh, I've been on hold for a whole 30 seconds, ha, 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 and I can't stand the rhetoric." But that kind of stuff there is the stuff that's gradually going to make people kind of wake up to, hopefully, I mean, to the media control over them.
Right.
Like you said, I had no idea. We just said there was 85,000 people in Wisconsin today.
Yes, reportedly between 85,000 and 100,000 people. So, yes, the number was higher than 85,000, but 85,000 is the minimum amount of people that were there today. That's a huge story. We haven't seen crowds like this, not in my lifetime. That's huge.
India, there were 125,000 there last week. And it got coverage.
Exactly.
It got coverage, but it seemed to be, you know, it seems to swirl around what they want to cover, when they want to cover. You know, Greg, you mentioned the fact that you called into Glenn Beck, and when you didn't fit the narrative, they all pounced upon you to marginalize, belittle, and basically drown you out.
Uh-huh.
Now, you compared Glenn Beck to a Randy Rhodes, and I don't see Randy Rhodes coming on talking about Jews and fear-mongering and these conspiracy theories. And Glenn Beck is a rodeo clown. This man has absolutely no foundation of reasoning, of truth, of life. But he has people listening to him. He's lost
right.
so many.
Right, but my point of it was that he's got all his little brainwashed listeners listening to him, and he's always attacking Randy Rhodes and whatever her views are. So if I haven't listened to her for a while, but if she's completely in support of what's going on in Wisconsin, then that makes him kind of lose his credibility, because it's about making these talk show people lose their credibility with their group of followers, and that's my objective when I get on someone's show like Glenn Beck. I mean, I'll probably never do it again because it's just a bunch of nonsense and it's a bunch of babble.
They know your name. You will never get through. I got through to Lou Dobbs one time, and when I asked him about the racist box of waffle mix that he was pictured with, he told me that somebody walked up to him and shoved this in his hand. And I can't see someone of his stature at the time allowing anyone to shove anything into his hand. And, you know, it just, to me, it was so outrageous. But I called back the next day. They kept me on hold for an hour. Then they cut the call. They killed the call. I called back the next day. They did the same thing. So, I got to tell you, you can call Progressive Radio and you can get on and you can say whatever it is that you want to say.
Well,
and they will not go to that extreme. You can, I mean, especially if you have logical facts as your narrative. You know, you won't get treated like that. But on the right, it's absolutely, you can't get through to a Rush Limbaugh and go on and tell the truth.
Well, and you know what? If Repubs continue to use the phraseology "the American people," and then they proceed with their talking point. Well, I want to know where are the American people marching to get rid of teachers? Have we had that march? Where are the American people marching to get rid of firefighters and police officers? Where are the marches to get rid of good-paying American jobs? Where are the marches that are pro-offshoring and outsourcing? Where are the We Love You Chamber of Commerce marches? Where are the We Love the Tax Cut marches? Where are the marches saying, hey, you know what? Those tens of billions of dollars for taxpayer subsidies to those oil firms, by gosh, we love them. Keep that
right.
going. I'm going to march in support of those tens of billions of dollars of taxpayer subsidies to go to trillion-dollar oil firms. Where are those marches? Where are the marches to take away heating subsidies? Where are the marches to take away millions more homes and livelihoods and stability, children's stability from American families? Where are these marches? Where are the marches to continue the Wall Street casino gambling? Where are those marches? I have yet to see those marches. So when they're referencing
all
the American people, and that's those are the policies that they advocate upon, I'm wanting to see those marches. Meanwhile, we have 85 to over 100,000 people in Madison in the cold, as Alpo said, over 100,000 people last weekend. Very little coverage. So we have marches going on. Why isn't the media covering them?
They're the fourth branch of government, and that's it in a nutshell. They work for the government, and they toke the line, and they're going to do everything they can to stop any kind of movement of Americans that are fed up and that are uniting. They're going to do it any way they can. They're the Ten Commandments. They are bearing false witness, and that's what the media's job is. It's to bear false witness against the people so that they can manipulate them, or they can silence them, or they can just basically not even report things. That's where the media has completely lost its way. The media, it turns on its own. Okay, I look for signs. There's all kinds of signs out there that you'll see in the media of media figures that do the right thing and lose their jobs. Let's take Helen Thomas.
How about Phil Donahue? How about Dan Rather? You know, this deal with Dan Rather and the Bush report that he did, that was part of that, laid that trap for Dan Rather and then discredit him. Then he got fired. And now he successfully sued CBS. And what about Phil Donahue, who came out against the war? He had positive ratings on his show, and he lost his show. He was basically drummed out of the media world. And when you talk about Helen Thomas was idiotic because she did the one thing that you just – it's no survival for, and that is criticize and make the Jews the scapegoats.
Well, listen, hold on.
And you know
she
never survived.
Let me take you back just a week earlier, okay? This is my take on Helen Thomas. A week earlier – Mr. Obama had his press conference, and they were talking about, I can't remember what the hot topic was at that time. They were talking about probably the economy, I guess it was, or something going on in the Middle East. Helen Thomas was the only one that asked him, how come we have all our troops in the Middle East? When are we bringing the troops home? And that was a question that you were not allowed to bring up at the press conference. And she was right then when she opened her mouth and said that, the word got out to fire her and get rid of her. So Helen Thomas has made those kind of statements for the last 30 years that she's been around. She's always made crazy statements and never lost her job. So she turns around a week later and makes some statements about the Jews. Oh, that's enough. We need to fire her.
Well,
but that's where I look back. I look back at she was the only one that questioned him on the war and why the troops haven't been brought home yet. And I think that's why she got fired.
But, Greg, when you start talking about her stepping down, this woman was an institution in the White House press corps. Had she stood her ground and refused to quit, make them fire you. And when they fire you, then you simply expose the rabid, repetitive, dirty water carrying of the media. She chose to step down. What did she have to lose by basically standing up saying, I'm not going no damn well. I told the truth, and if you don't like it, you don't like it. She's an institution in the White House press corps. It wasn't about her questioning when the truth. She asked the same question of W. Bush.
Right.
The media rolled over for this war. And now it's you know, we've got what we've got in this country, and we seem to have lost our way when it comes to critical thinking. And I can't say it's the American people who are critical thinkers, because they are lemmings. They are followers. And that's what they do.
You see, this war has to go on forever. Because it fits the whole agenda of destroying the Constitution and taking our rights and our freedom away. So as long as this war goes forever, then they always have that right to the Patriot Act and all that other BS that's a direct attack on the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, the airports, searches and seizures and probable cause, all that stuff. The Bill of Rights, that was written to prevent the government from doing what it's doing, and all because of this war, we don't really have a Bill of Rights because the government's doing whatever the hell they want to do. This war is nothing but a tool. It's another tool that this government is using to destroy our way of life. Back to kind of the media thing, General McChrystal, okay? I feel, this is just my opinion, I feel that General McChrystal, when the whole thing started with him, was there was reports that he voted for President Obama, and I feel that he voted for Obama because Obama said he was going to end the war and bring the troops home. And the main objective of a general, his objective was to win the war decisively with the least amount of casualties and bring the troops home as soon as he can. And I feel that after he was in charge for whatever it was, 3 years, 5 years, he had figured out that this government has absolutely no intention whatsoever of ending this war. And that's why he went to the Rolling Stones magazine. He couldn't go to mainstream media, the fourth branch government, because there's no one that would take that story. There's no one that would have given General McChrystal the time of day or the audience that Olimba has or Randy Rhodes has or any of the above have. So the only outlet he was able to find was the Rolling Stones magazine outlet. And he did a story on the Rolling Stones. And remember, when this broke, the media never focused on what he said in that article. They just said, that article, he did it, he said a bunch of bad things, we need to get rid of him.
But Greg, General McChrystal was a John McCain, a staunch John McCain backer. General McChrystal violated his oath of his duty when he came out and spoke to an English tabloid or an English news outlet about adding troops to Afghanistan. And it seems to be a situation where if we don't understand who General McChrystal, all he was doing was manipulating and trying to corner Obama into continuing and adding troops to this war.
Or, I mean, you may be right, or there's the other side of it, was he knew that the more troops he added, it was a much easier way to win this war and to end this war.
Add enough troops to win this war in Afghanistan. The war in Afghanistan has been raging. These people have never had a central government. These people have never had. Where do you think that
empires
to die came from?
Those people have all been free. They've all been able to live free without having the government tell them what to do or when to eat or how to eat, or we're going to take your taxes, we're going to tax you on this, we're going to tax your gas, we're going to tax anything. So aren't we, in a sense,
Would you gentlemen both agree that
America's foreign policy has ultimately resulted in a tremendous lack of credibility in a myriad of issues globally. Would you agree to that, Greg?
Yes, I would, because it's a whole new generation of children that are watching their parents' livelihoods being taken away from them by our troops. It's a whole new disarming of people in the Middle East. There's no due process out there. If you have a gun in your house, you know, how are they supposed to know who out there is an actual terrorist and who isn't? They're judging it on, if they have a gun and weapons, we take them away. Well, how do those could be just regular people like us, using, they're taking away their form of defense. But our government's not doing that. The troops aren't doing that. I look at the war like this. If we put it in this context, the way to look at it this way, say hypothetically that we've got some gangs down in Southern California, okay, and they're driving around in a Toyota, 3-4 carloads of them, and the accelerator pump sticks, and it kills maybe 5 or 6 of them, okay? Well, that gang or terrorist group goes to China and blows up a Toyota factory and kills 3,000 people. Well, the government of China turns around and says, you know what, we're going to send our troops to California, and we're going to root out them gang members or terrorists so that they don't do this again to us. Meanwhile, we're going to tell all the citizens of China that, you know, we don't know if you're a gang member or not, or a terrorist or not. We're going to take your rights and your freedom away. At the same time, while they're in California, they're going to go house to house to root out those gang members. And if you have and what would happen? The people of California would fight back. Well, if you've got guns, we're going to go ahead and just attack you with our armies and our militaries. And that's that's what this war is all about, if you put it in that kind of context. Our government is using this whole war and everything about this war to destroy our livelihoods and our freedom and everything. It's completely backwards of what they say. They say they're doing it to protect us, when in reality, they're taking away our freedom and they're taking away our ability to protect ourselves. They're using it to, when we start forming big rallies or anything like that, well, guess what? We got the Patriot Act. We could eavesdrop on anybody's phone conversations or your emails or anything to make sure that we put a stop to it.
And, of course, the Patriot Act was just recently extended.
Exactly, and they put off a show as if they weren't going to extend it. We all know they were going to extend it, just like when it comes up for a renewal again. Do you really think that they're going to not extend that Patriot Act? I think that, I don't know. With 9/11 and everything, you can't say anything about inside job 9/11 stuff, because that just everybody that's way beyond them, their thought process. But take the day that George Bush got on that aircraft carrier and said, mission accomplished, why are we there 10 years later?
Well,
we don't need to be there.
You're absolutely right.
We don't have the borders are wide open, but they're worried about terrorists?
It's an oxymoron. Absolutely right.
I know.
Well,
we most certainly do have problems right here in River City. That's for sure.
Greg, I want to thank you for your call this evening.
Thanks, guys.
I can't say how, as an independent, and I don't want to, label you, but it sounds like you don't lean left, you don't lean right. It sounds like you're right down the middle. And it seems to me that if you can get more people to think as independents, like yourself, that we will be a whole lot better off. Greg, thank you for calling Our Common Ground, and don't be a stranger.
Can I make one more comment real quick before I go? I always back up my thought process with religion. You know, there's stories in the Bible of the wedding feast of Cana, where the people at the wedding, they ran out of wine, and the Lord told him to fill those jars up with water. And they filled the jars with water, and he performed his miracle and turned it to wine. The people of this country need to fill their jars with water, meaning they need to get involved. They need to do everything they can to stop what is going on. And when it's time, the good Lord will come down and he will perform his miracle. But the people can't just sit around with their heads in the sand. They can't be led around like sheep. That's what I tried to do, along with when Jesus made the blind man see. You know, he spat in the sand, he rubbed sand on his eye, on the blind man's eyes, and told him to go to the stream and wash the sand from his eyes, and he was able to see. Well, to me, I contribute that with the media. The media is throwing sand and mud and dirt of lies and deceit and untruths into the eyes of the American people. Then I'm going to do everything I can within my power to wash that sand from people's eyes so that they can truly see what is going on in their lives and in this world.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
That's a very
enlightening call from Greg on to our common ground, and I want to thank Greg for his call. I've got 773 is on the line. India, am I in trouble? Because we've just blown through all the breaks.
yeah, we're both in trouble.
Scared of me.
Yeah, we're both in trouble. Yeah, we blow it.
Welcome to our common ground. This is Alpha joining with India Declare.
Hey, y'all. What's going on, Alpha? India, this is House. How y'all doing?
Hi, House. Good to hear from you, sir.
excuse me. I'm good. I'm just listening to the show. The call before was... He was decent on most most of his points, and he seemed to be kind of down the middle. But he did bring us some good points. I'm not here to really go at him at all. But he did leave me a good segue in terms of what's going on in the Middle East. And I told you I want to talk about the Peter King travesty he had the other day, and the McCarthyism he's pretty much kind of bring up and label all Muslims as basically a problem. And part of the policy I keep harping on about the president is that he hasn't changed our foreign policy. He hasn't changed the reasons. Actually, the last caller brought up so many good points about how he hasn't changed them and how it adversely affects us going forward. And the fact that Peter King could have this congressional hearing or whatever that travesty was supposed to be, and basically, you know, scapegoat every Muslim as a potential terrorist, which I think that was the absolute goal, and, you know, take away from the history of this country and its domestic terrorism, not just from its inception, talking about the terrorism they inflicted upon the Native Americans, but, you know, everything that they did to black folks through transatlantic slave trade, you know, up and through the Emancipation Proclamation.
Absolutely.
And up and through today. And their unwillingness to do anything about it. The only time they even came close was when they jailed or interred all the Japanese during World War II, and they eventually gave them, you know, reparations, and I guess they kind of said, I'm sorry. They helped rebuild that country after they, you know, dropped two nuclear bombs on them and made them into the third or fourth biggest world power today, earthquake and tsunami not included. But that's the only time they've ever really, you know, come clean. So for Peter King to do what he did, you know, it just goes along with the Republican agenda, the white supremacist agenda, the imperialist, the Zionist, the colonialist, all of it. And it's just another means of, like you said, really taking the power away from this country and distracting us and keeping us in a place that we not only don't need to be, but it's breaking everybody's financial back to be there. not just financial
absolutely.
Back, moral back, morally.
Absolutely.
We don't have standards.
Absolutely. A tragic waste of tremendous power when the issue of extremism and the causes of terrorism and the prevention of terrorism is a legitimate issue and subject, and we should all obviously, for obvious reasons, be very much informed and aware about all of it. But the way that was handled and the way it was exclusive in regards to American Muslims, I just thought it was a tragic waste of tremendous power. And I believe that Congressman Keith Ellison's testimony that we played in its entirety on our program was so profound. And he just said it all. And if you did not get a chance, those of you listening, if you did not get a chance to hear Congressman Keith Ellison's testimony, Democrat of Minnesota, there at that hearing that took place, I believe, Thursday, please listen to it in its entirety. He sums up so eloquently, powerfully, and emotionally the travesty of what took place there.
Yeah.
When you get right down to it, I see you've posted some excuse me, you've posted some sources that
yes, sir.
Put the Wisconsin protest between 150,000 and 200,000.
Correct.
And I see the sources that you've used for it. I'm not real familiar with. However, you know, if the mainstream media won't report on it, and I think that should be, there should be a huge pushback from the progressive liberal side on this about the lack of coverage.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm referencing Twitter, and these are live. This is live coming off of Twitter. The Nation has Twittered, quote, Michael Moore is reporting that today's Madison rally may be the largest labor demo in U.S. history. So please go to Twitter.com and go to MichaelMoore.com. Go to TheNation.com. Mr. Charles Blow, a columnist, a prominent columnist, is Twittering about what is going on in Japan and the impact of the nuclear power plant there. So use our social media, the access to social media that we have, and we're having to get our own information and dig for our own news and find out what is going on. We can no longer just sit in the Barca lounger and pick up the remote and expect mainstream media to provide us with information. We now have to – we are our own reporters and we are our own researchers, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that. But if let me try and jump back into this Peter King thing real quick.
Yes, sir.
You guys know I'm a Muslim. And
mm-hmm.
on Fridays we have what's called Juma. And basically it's the expectation is, you know, for every Muslim who can, you know, you do your most hardest and sincere to be in a mosque on Friday just to hear and participate in the Juma prayers. And what happens is someone gives what's called a khutbah, which is basically a sermon on some part, supposed to be on some part of the Quran and the teachings of the Quran and teaching of the Prophet Muhammad. So I went to Juma services Friday. And
mm-hmm.
there was a visiting imam, and he was speaking. Actually, he spoke about a few different things. The lesson actually wasn't clearly from Quran, but it was regarding what's going on today and some of the problems. And actually, he mentioned that he's born and raised in New York on Long Island. And the mosque he attended, his parents attended, when he was 10 years old, Peter King actually came to the mosque because it was an election year and spoke. I guess they let him speak like four times. And he got people from the mosque to help circulate, not petitions, but to get out to vote for him. And the brother said even at 10 years old, he thought it was wrong on a few different levels, one of which that they were able to come in there and politic, which is not supposed to happen. And the fact that at 10 years old, he thought Peter King was just not right. You know, he was out of the mouth of a babe.
I was just thinking that. Yes.
You know, so, and, you know, it's just literally, this is him at 10. And he's grown up, you know, older guy. I think he's like 26, 28 now. Oh, whatever. I'm just guessing. He's grown up and he's done his studies. He's become a full-fledged imam. He's one of the brothers that's memorized and can recite the Quran. And he's done all of these other religious studies. And he's learned it on his way to becoming a scholar, if not already. And he also mentioned how he's appeared on CNN and some other shows a few different times. And he mentioned he was on CNN or Fox or whatever it was. And someone asked him about jihad in a hostile way and mentioned the jihad as, you know, it's this war thing and, you know, and jihad is kill, kill, kill. And, you know, his response was I thought it was just, it was great. He said, you know, he couldn't get upset because jihad is in the Quran, but there's a different meaning for jihad as opposed to just being war and just being killing anybody. But he asked the commentator, he was like, you know, if you had to fight somebody, would you rather like get into a boxing ring and have judges and gloves and rules and round and have a condition where the fight was over, you know there's a clear winner? Or would you rather walk down some dark street, get stuck up, have somebody come up to you and tell you, give me your wallet, and somebody come up behind you and stab you? Excuse me. And he was like, well, that's what it is with jihad. Jihad is if you're going to fight, these are the rules of engagement. And this is how it's supposed to go down. And whoever you're fighting against, you're supposed to send this letter and tell them. And this is how they did it, not just in the Muslims, but this is how they did it in war and even till today. They tell you you're about to get into a fight. What are the reasons, what we're fighting for, and when we will win and how we will declare victory. So his whole point was like, you know, this is a rule, and these are the rules of engagement, and this is how it goes. This is how it goes. This is what it's all about. It's not about, I'm a Muslim, you're not, my jihad is against you. You know, in the Quran, it clearly explains that if there is someone who is tearing down your religion, tearing down your cult, your country, that's a term or a condition of a jihad. But a jihad is also not as it's something for the whole religion, but it's something that has to be declared by the individual. Because, and I mentioned this before, Osama bin Laden cannot declare a jihad for me just because we're Muslims. You know, I can't fight a fight simply because he says something is going wrong. And we have to fight. It's a very personal thing. And really, on the personal level, jihad simply means a struggle. You know, if you're fighting drug addiction, your jihad is to be clean. If you are trying to get educated without a whole lot of money, you got to work two jobs and go to college, you know, that's your jihad. That's your struggle. You're trying to get back from an economic decimation, that's your jihad. You know, to get out of debt, get myself back on feet. So literally at its core, it's a personal struggle. And, you know, and just the brother, just how he told the whole stories and he brought them all together, it was really remarkable and amazing. And the fact that he actually not just knew who Peter King was, but had that early contact with him. and figured that he was just really, really wrong. You know, it just
your point brings out the almost desperate need for people to be informed and not operate from a place of ignorance and fear and prejudice, but function from a place of information and insight and a sense of understanding, and if possible, even empathy. This operation from fear and ignorance and prejudice, any action taken from that root is obviously not in one's best interest. And I think what your point brings up most of all, House, and we have discussed this, there's so much people need to know from the American Muslims' perspective, as you just spoke about, simply and honestly and passionately, about the nuances of the Muslim religion and how we're all Americans here, and you're not coming from a place of fear and ignorance and prejudice. You're an American, and you're speaking truth. You know, in other words, it's like we have so much more in common than we do not. And if we could operate from that root, as opposed to the fear and ignorance and prejudice root, which is what Congressman King's hearings, whether he intended for them to be or not, that's the root in which it was all based on, and the root in which it certainly appeared to come from that root. And that's why Congressman Ellison's words and testimony were so powerful, because he did not come from the root of fear, ignorance, and prejudice. And that's why his testimony was the biggest story out of the whole thing.
Not only that, but the fact the person that the story was about, that he was relating to us, was a Muslim American who died as a first responder in 9/11.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, just to think that, you know, anybody can take a whole group and demonize them like that, and they know what they're doing. He knows what he's doing. You know, he's definitely, somebody posted earlier that he's anti-Muslim. But, you know, that's exactly what it is. He hasn't changed, and his motive is still the same. And the fact that he can do it, I almost hated that anybody even showed up to it. I almost hated that I even watched some of it, because it seemed almost to legitimize his position. But
well,
I understand we kind of have to fight evil when we see evil. I'm sorry, Alpha.
Well, House, they have that bully pulpit, which is the congressional chair to raise these issues. Look at what ICE is about to do. You know, I've got about 7 minutes left, and I've got another caller. House, I want to thank you for your call.
All right.
Thank you, House.
Thanks for taking the call.
We've got about 7 minutes left. Thank you very much for your call, House. 610, you're on the board. Thank you for calling Our Common Ground.
Brother Brock, Philadelphia, PA.
Brother Brock, I saw your hand up, but you've been on the board for a long time. And now I see your hand is up. You're coming in at the end again, Brother Brock, but go right ahead.
Because I'm listening to all the good messages, the good information. You know, I'm doing work in the background, hitting my blueprints, trying to get this price ready for Monday. Try. But your show is interrupting me. So I'm thankful for the show, and I'm just giving y'all more courage to keep it up, keep up the good work. And my only real
comment
would be the same comment I made before and each and every time concerning the media. The media is pretty much the repub teabaggers. They are carrying that message, carrying that water. They're always going to be on the side of, and you already mentioned who the owners are of the major media, and it blatantly shows. Even when it comes down to the war and anything having to do with it, they're not going to say end the war or side with anything. They're just going to go with the money flow, and unfortunately, too many of us fall, even if the media didn't carry their message, too many of us are sleepwalking, worried about nonsense. So they take full advantage of the majority of the population's weakness to go along and get along. So it's, you know, it's not hard for them to, it's not hard for them to steer 80% of the people in one direction, because 80% of the people are willing to be steered.
Mm.
So keep up the great work, and put me on hold so I can continue to listen. I have some computer troubles, so I'm just listening with the phone today.
Thank you very much, Brock. Thank you for your
call. Thanks for having it. Thanks for the people in chat room.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Mark. Well, India, we're bringing this to a close. We have about 4 minutes left. Do you want to summarize and finalize your final thoughts?
Well, Alpha, first off, I want to thank you so very much and thank Ms. Janice Graham for allowing me the privilege to be able to sit in with you guys this evening. It has been tremendous. And as I always listen on Saturday nights, I got an opportunity to participate. And thank everybody for your calls, Greg and Brock and House Music Lover. Excellent calls. And for the chat, the members in the chat room, thank you so very much for your chat commentary. And I would just say in the general, we have so much more in common, and especially now in the times that we're living in, than we do not have in common. And I just think that the common threads and commonalities are common sense. And if we can operate from a perspective of insight and information and commonalities, common sense, I think that's where the answers are. Coming from a perspective of fear and ignorance and prejudice, I don't believe the answers will be found there, but only more distractions, distortions, and destruction. Alpha, I thank you so very much. I'm in complete trouble with Ms. Janice Graham. We blew through all the breaks, so I will be at that conference call as I know it's coming. but I thank you, sir, and thank you guys so very much. And I'll sign off, Alpha, and let you close the shop down. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for helping me out, India. India declared. Heard Mondays through Fridays, 10 o'clock Central, here at Blog Talk Radio. I've been sitting here in front of this board that my mentor Janice Graham has up, and I can't make hide nor hair out of what this is up here. But in closing, I'd like to say I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, House Music Lover. Thank you, Brother Brock, for your calls. Thanks to India DeClaire for co-hosting with me this evening. Janice Graham will be back next Saturday. And for our common ground, I'll say this. It's been my pleasure. It's been a slice for me to host the show for Janice as she's doing other things. And I see things here on the board to say close, so I'm going to try it. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us here at Our Common Ground with my co-host, Alpha. I'm Janice Graham. Next Saturday, 10 p.m., I'll be listening for you.
God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who has brought us thus far along the way, Thou who has by Thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met Thee, lest our hearts drunk with the wine of the world, we forget Thee. Shadowed beneath Thy hand, may we forever stand true to Thee, O God, and true to our native land.